Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is going to be Jennifer Leah Lane, and she is calling in because she is conducting a fundraiser to build a fence so that her child, who has autism, can play outside. Such a reasonable request, but this will give him freedom and possibly even her freedom. And wouldn't that be nice? Okay, hold on just a second while I pick up Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Well, thank you for coming on short notice. Sometimes things like this happen, and I'm so happy we have an opportunity to promote the fundraiser that you are holding for to build a fence so that your child can play outdoors.
I really appreciate it.
Well, tell us a little bit about your son. How old is he?
He's 8.
And what's his name?
His name's Josiah.
Josiah?
Mm-hmm.
Nice name. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
So he's 8 years old, and he has been diagnosed as autistic. Is this correct?
Yes, ma'am. He has severe autism, and he is nonverbal.
Yep. Okay, well, certainly this is becoming the staple of my program, I do believe, is nonverbal autistic children. My sister was severely mentally retarded. She was also nonverbal, and I'm very excited to be able to help in any way I can. Tell us a little bit about what happened in terms of why your son is autistic.
My son, he was born a normal little boy. He had met all his milestones. He was talking in 20 to 30 words, 2 to 3 word sentences. Just a normal little 16 and a half month old child, running, playing. He loved his bath. He loved his pool. I took him to his well checkup when he was 16 and a half months old. It was his 15 month checkup, and his doctor was an hour away from us where we lived at, and he told me that he would go ahead and give Josiah his 15 and his 18 month vaccinations so that we wouldn't have to come back the next month. And at that time I didn't know anything about the vaccinations, dangers, anything, and I actually thought the doctor was helping me out. Well, I wouldn't have to come back the next month and travel an hour. And so I agreed and said thank you and trusted the doctor. This doctor had been seeing all my children since my oldest one was born. And so he gave Josiah that day his 15 and his 18-month vaccinations. And there was 9 total. And there was 9. All at once, and my son, we came home right after, and he started screaming and crying, and he would not stop. This went on for 5 hours. His body was stiff. He would throw his head back. He would arch his back. His eyes were rolling in the back of his head, and this all went on for 5 hours. What we know now that we did not know then, that he was actually having seizures. Of course, they were not a seizure that what I was familiar with was just shaking. And so we didn't realize at that time that he was having seizures. What happened, his brain had become inflamed and swelled from too many vaccines at one time. And that was why this went on the way it did for 5 hours. After that, my son was no longer the same. Some people say, oh, you couldn't have noticed a difference the next day, but it was the very next day. He was no longer the same. He was no longer talking to us. He would not look at us. We actually thought he couldn't hear us. He started from that day into the next year, he was completely gone. Who he was before, he was no longer that little boy. His voice was gone. He wouldn't look at us. You know, we thought he couldn't hear us. He became terrified of his tub, of his pool. He would spin in circles and flap his hands and line his toys up and lick his toys. And the son that we had, he was no longer that little boy. We took him, when it was time for his next well checkup, we took him to the doctor. And Josiah was just on his little diaper spinning in circles the whole time. And he was 2 at that time. And I had talked to the doctor and explained to him what had been going on. And the doctor told me that I probably already knew, but that my son had autism. And the doctor also said that he was due for another vaccination that day, but that my son had been through enough already, so he wasn't going to give it to him. And
did,
I asked the doctor.
Did he acknowledge that the vaccine that he had given him caused his autism?
That was my next question. I asked him, why? I said, why does he have autism? What caused this? I said, because he was not like this a year ago. My son was not like this. I said, and I asked him then, was it the vaccinations? And he said, no. He said that was just a coincidence. He said that around 15 to 18 months is when the child starts showing signs of autism, and around that same time is when they get their MMR. And so it is just a coincidence, he said to me.
Well,
I felt in my heart that he knew something, because he said that my son needed a vaccination that day, but he had been through enough, so he wasn't going to give it to him.
Yeah, that's definitely a tip-off, no question. Well, you know, I want to start a television show called My Doctor Said It Wasn't the Vaccine, because I have heard more parents say this. Then this is what finally put my linking of, I'm so upset every time I hear this. It doesn't get easier. That's so upsetting. I'm so sorry. And I just, words cannot express what an outrage this is.
I mean, you know, people say that there's no way he could have changed just in one day. But he did. And who he was gone. And I have video of before, and they're hard to watch. The videos of before, they're really hard to watch. And my son, he was perfectly normal.
Well, I have a point of telling parents who are naysayers, they're like, oh, well, you know, I didn't suffer, and all I can say is, you know, you survived vaccines. Congratulations. Not everyone is so lucky, you know?
Yes.
And we only had a few back in the day. Your
That's
son
what
got
I was about
nine
to say.
At once?
Yes, my son got 9 at once. When I was born, there were only 10 in my schedule from when I was a child, just 10. My son got 9 at one time.
Well, my sister got 1. And that took her down. I didn't know till I was 50 that she had ever been normal, and that it was after an annual checkup that she completely changed. But it was only probably in the day, it was probably 1. So I always tell people, it's only 1 shot that does it. You just don't know which one. And with the schedule as outrageous as it is, 49 through the age of 5, believe me, your kid isn't going to survive. If they survive, it will be a blessed miracle. But what condition will they be in when all is said and done, not knowing which one it will be?
Yes, ma'am. And yeah, my son, he's our only son. And it was heartbreaking for this to happen to any child. But Josiah is my only son.
Well, these people are cruel. Cruel. I'm just not going to let go of that word. People are talking about cruelty to animals, and I'm saying there are children who are also being treated with tremendous cruelty, not even indifference. They know what they're doing. So it's not a matter of even indifference. It's blatant cruelty.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, our life's never been the same since the day that he had his reaction. You know, we don't take things for granted anymore. You know, our son, he's nonverbal. But every now and then a word will come out of his mouth, and we just stop and we just smile or we cry. And, you know, we haven't heard him fully talk since he was 16 and a half months old.
Well, I always ask parents this, or I don't always, but I should, because it's when people aren't making the connection, no matter what you tell them, what I do is I take it to the parents' level, and I ask parents, as I will ask you, when's the last time you went to the movies, Jennifer?
When's the last time I went to the movies, as far as, like, with my husband?
Yes.
My husband and I don't get to go out. The last time we went to a movie, oh my goodness, I don't think we had children. We went to see, or either our parents were watching one of our children, but it was When Passion of the Christ was out in theaters. That was the last time my husband and I went out.
That's right.
And I'm not even sure what year that was.
They need to know their personal freedom is out the window once this happens. Now, how are your finances? Any exceptional costs you're dealing with as a result of this?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You know, we have four children total, and my husband's the breadwinner in our family. I'd stay home with my children. And Josiah, I don't know if he'll ever be potty trained. But we have to keep him in good night sleep pants. That's a good offense right there. He has Medicaid, but they do not cover that. He has his therapies, and thank goodness Medicaid covers that. But we have to travel to Atlanta about every 3 months.
Do you have to feed him special foods?
Oh, yes. He is on a gluten, casein-free diet. He also has a peanut allergy. His peanut allergy is the worst allergy he has. He hasn't been in the hospital in a while because he used to break out into hives every month. Thank goodness that has not happened yet. I mean, it has not happened in a long time.
Were the hives a reaction to to peanuts or to what? What were the hives?
We do not know because he has several out. You know, he has a gluten and a casein allergy. He could have allergies we don't know of yet. He's allergic to insect venom. If he gets bit by an insect, that can cause him to break out into hives. But, yes, he is on a special diet. I have to homemade everything that he eats. He has a special bread mix. I have to make his bread for him. I just can't go to the store and, pick up a loaf of bread. I have to actually make his bread for him. If he is on his birthday, I have to make a special birthday cake for him. I have to find a special ice cream for Josiah. The diet's very expensive. The keeping him in his underpants is very expensive.
How much more would you say you are must spend? Because I know none of this is frivolous. How much more must you spend on Josiah, percentage-wise, I guess, than your other children?
Oh my goodness! I want to say that we probably spend about 50% more or more on him than our children, our other three.
Yeah.
If it's Christmas or Easter or Valentine's Day, we can't just go buy him candy. You know, so we spend a lot more on that. Everything has to be special for Josiah. We do spend about 50% or a little bit more on him than our other children, and it's hard, it's tough, and it, you know, there's times that he probably sees us eating something, and we try to make the equivalent for him, but it's hard. There's times he sees them eating a piece of candy, or, you know, and he wants it, you know, but we, like I said, we try to have special stuff in the house for him to eat, but,
right,
you know,
now, a lot of parents of autistic children are on the verge of divorce or divorced, so there's that issue, but you are married to the same man for all these years, am I correct?
Yes, so we've been married 17 and a half years, and I'm not, mm-hmm. and it's not been easy. There's a lot of stress.
No, I'm sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I can't,
oh, yeah.
When we mentioned that, I can't go out on a date with my husband because you can't call up the 16-year-old down the street to come babysit your son. You can't. You have to have someone who knows children with autism, who has experience with it and knows about it. You know, that's why my husband and I don't go out on a date. We can't leave our son with just anyone.
Right.
He's nonverbal.
Absolutely.
He cannot tell us, hey, someone hurt me today. And his food allergies, that causes a problem. You know, I can't have him get a hold of something he can't have. And, you know, keeping my son safe, healthy, and alive is more important than going out with my husband right now.
Right, of course.
But that's the one thing.
Okay,
that,
so your marriage has stayed together against all odds, because
yes,
quite frankly,
I see
marriages falling apart left and right, and also you managed to not be in foreclosure, which is quite unique. If you're building a fence, I'm assuming you own your house, or that your finances are stable enough to then go and build a fence.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now,
you
don't have excess money to build this fence, however, and you're reaching out to people who understand that this is a most difficult situation and you would like your child to have playtime outside like everybody else, but cannot be left without a way to contain him.
Yes, ma'am. When we take Josiah out, he has to have a harness on, and clip to that harness is a lead. I don't want to say it looks like a dog leash, but it does. But it's called a lead, and he, like I said, he has a harness on, and that's how he has to go outside, and we have to hold
right.
on to him.
Right, sure.
And,
that's completely understandable to me. But I'm sure you've gotten some nasty remarks regardless.
We have had some mean remarks since our son has been diagnosed with autism. It is hard. I remember when he first got diagnosed, I had to go to the mall. We were having my phone fixed. He is not potty trained, so I had to take, he was five at that time, I had to take him into the bathroom to change him. And it's hard. People see a five-year-old boy in the bathroom, and they think he should be potty trained, and I was waiting to use the changing table, and there was a group of, either they were in their teens or early 20s, they had all their shopping bags on the changing table that I was waiting for. So I patiently waited. I checked the handicapped bathroom, there wasn't a changing table in there, and so they picked up their bags and they went to walk out of the bathroom, and they turned and looked at my son and they said, that kid's like 5 years old and still in diapers. And my heart just sunk. That hurt. You know, my son, he's not deaf, he can hear. He might not talk, but he can hear. And I needed to change him. So I opened the door to the bathroom and I saw my husband there. And so I told him what had happened, and he went And he said something to this group of ladies. I can't even call them ladies. This group of girls. But then I continued to change my son. But the response my husband got when he said something to them, they told him to shut up. When he told him that his son had autism and that they needed to think before they spoke, and that one day they might, with the rate of autism the way it was, one day they might either have a child with autism or know someone who does. And they, the girl looked at him and told him to shut up. We've had,
well,
when Josiah would melt down in the stores.
Oh.
He'd melt down the stores and people would, I'm sorry, they would.
There's a very important quote that I want to say at this juncture, and that is, slow to learn does not mean slow to feel. And please have a little bit of discretion and compassion for people who are going through what is the most incredible nightmare. You could never have foreseen this. And it is a nightmare because it alters your existence. Your poor child, who was at one point in his life normal, has been treated cruelly, and as a result is in this terrible place. And this is a call out to everyone everywhere. And I have to tell you, I went to have lunch with a woman whose child was autistic, and this child acted out so many times. And every time they did, do you know what I said? Don't vaccinate. Don't vaccinate. Don't vaccinate. There were 200 people in that restaurant, I can assure you, will never vaccinate.
The one thing I would want people to know is when you see a child out in public and you might think he's too old to be acting that way, he's too old to be sitting in the grocery cart screaming and crying. He's not a brat, and there could be something wrong. If you see a child that's 8 sitting in the back of the grocery cart, that's not a normal situation. A neurotypical child is not usually going to be in the back of a grocery cart screaming and crying and biting him. You know, reach out. Try to help that parent. Open the door for her. You know, offer to help her with her groceries. Don't just make faces and shake your head and laugh or make hurtful comments, because that hurts that parent. They're doing the best they can. I think community awareness is what we need.
Yes, absolutely. That's a very important thing you just said. Absolutely. Well, quite frankly, let me tell you what I'm doing. I am taking all of these interviews with parents of vaccine-injured children, and I am making a movie out of it, because I've done as much as I can with the radio shows, and we're going to make a film and have one parent after the next, like you are doing now, explain what has happened to their child, to their lives, and why it has happened, and we will stop this. This will be called The Cruelty of Vaccination.
I was also going to tell you, yes, when I had questioned Josiah's daughter, I just remembered he told me, I said I mentioned how my girls had all gotten their vaccines and nothing had happened to them, and wanted to know why. And he said, he told me it was more prevalent in boys, that the autism was more prevalent in boys than the girls. And that's why Josiah had autism, because I had asked him, why don't my other girls have autism? And that's when he told me that it was because Josiah was a boy, and that's why he has autism.
Well, of course, you know there are many girls with autism, but in fact, what you're saying is absolutely correct. The incidence of autism among boys is definitely higher than girls.
And, you know, Josiah mentioned to the doctor that about how many vaccines he gave Josiah, and that the girls had never been doubled up on their vaccines. But, you know, I do have a daughter with Asperger's, but she had been getting flu shots since she was 8 months old. It is more prevalent in boys.
Well, how much now? You have a person who is matching funds, so people contribute to this fence building project.
Yes.
Somebody will be matching the funds. Why don't you tell us about that, please?
It's been, I think it was about a week ago. I'm sure it was within the past week. I got a message sent to me from Paul Green, and he wanted me to contact him to help me with my son's fence. And I got the message was sent through my fundraiser with GoFundMe, and he gave me his telephone number. And of course, I went and Googled the number to see who I was talking to, and I found out that he runs a nonprofit organization. It's called Children's Rainbow Mountain Retreat. That assists special needs children. And it's in what they do, it's in the Great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, and they provide parents and special needs children to come up there and stay and for like for a vacation to get away from all the stress and the difficulties. Well, so he was the one who was contacting me. And he started sharing my fundraiser. He said that he had been watching my fundraiser for a couple of months, but that he had meant to get to me. But, of course, he got busy, and so but he finally contacted me, and he agreed to match the donations. So he has been matching all the donations that have been coming in since he first contacted me.
Wonderful. That's very good
and
news.
And he's still matching them.
Oh,
he
now
also,
how much do you have left to raise? If the
I have 200.
Matching
yeah, he's matching. I have $285 more dollars to raise.
And then he'll match it and you'll be able to build the fence. So you'll be able to build the fence probably by springtime. And your son can go out. That's wonderful.
Yes. It's very wonderful. And we live on a corner lot, which is near the main road. And so Josiah has no concept of danger. And we just can't let him run. He can't run and play like a neurotypical child. And this gentleman, Paul Green, has also mentioned that he is going, he's been helping with the fence, matching the donations, but he is also going to coordinate and try to build Josiah a special needs playground.
Oh,
so he's going
wonderful.
So he's going to be working on that in the next 3 or so months. He's going to be working on trying to make that happen for Josiah.
Well, I'll tell you, years ago when I was doing fundraisers, I was doing architectural tours and raising money, we did a fundraiser for the Playground for All Children, which was the first playground in the entire country for special needs children. And I've done a lot of children's comedy shows there as well. So I love that place. But there are a couple of them public parks here in New York City that are catered to specifically children with disabilities. Are there anywhere you live, a public kind of a park that would provide facilities specifically for children with disabilities?
No, ma'am. We do not have that. Not in my area.
Well, you will have the first.
Yes, ma'am. He said
that's
that it would be a couple of months, but that it was doable and that he would be contacting several organizations and trying to get them to help. So he wants to build a playground for Josiah.
Wonderful. This is such good news. Congratulations.
It was. Thank you.
You certainly deserve a break. What's your husband's name?
His name's Michael.
Hi, Michael. Sorry, I can't meet you too, but I just thought I'd give him a little shout-out because you are two parents with a large burden, and I'm happy to hear people coming through and helping you out and not being mean-spirited, which often the general public can be. So would you like to give some advice to parents who are on the fence about whether to vaccinate? I think everything you've said thus far is certainly enough to alert parents, but perhaps what you could do is dispel the myths they are being fed, like the term life-saving vaccine. I call it a life-stealing vaccine, so that we are not constantly fed information, you know?
Yes, ma'am, and they are life-stealing. My son's still alive, but they stole who he was, though. And, you know, there's times I want my little boy back, but I can't get who he was back. But the parents who might not have yet vaccinated or who are expecting, they have a chance where they can prevent this from happening to their child. And I would have loved someone to have told me before this, hey, be careful. Research your vaccinations. Research what is in them. There are things in the vaccinations that you would not drink.
You wouldn't even want to be in the same room with them. Formaldehyde,
yes.
You wouldn't want to smell it. Mercury,
you're
supposed to, they're supposed to have some kind of a toxic cleanup if you drop a thermometer. All the things that you wouldn't want to be in the room with, you wouldn't want to drink it, you certainly wouldn't want to eat MSG. We're not supposed to be eating that. They'll shove that in a kid's bloodstream. It is just outrageous.
They tell pregnant women, do not eat fish because of the mercury. But let's get your flu shot. Or when that baby's born, make sure you vaccinate him or her. It's just appalling. I wish I would have done my research. You know, I just thought, well, all my girls had been vaccinated. Nothing happened to them. But the fact Josiah received too many at one time, and his brain couldn't handle it. But I urge every parent to research.
Yes, yes.
Research, reason. They tell you not, if your child's sick, don't vaccinate them. There's a reason. There's a reason they say that. Read the pamphlets, the inserts that come with the vaccinations. Ask to see them. You know, the DTaP says lists autism as a side effect. I mean, I found out all this too late. It's not too late for these parents who have not vaccinated, or even if they have, it's not too late for them to stop.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's never too late to stop. And another thing that we have to say to parents, I find myself saying to parents when I bring up information about vaccines, and they're like, well, I've already vaccinated, I say, forgive yourself. I know I've had to forgive myself, but I, you know, just whatever it takes to stop. If you feel that, you know, you will be somehow, once you've done it, then you've got to stay the course. No way. No way. Your child is fortunate beyond fortunate if he is or she is not injured. And so many of the injuries they are not putting together with as an outcome of vaccination. There are 1 in 2 children has a chronic illness. This is not from fracking. Okay, this is from the vaccine.
You know, my son, I still, everything that he has, his food allergies, I still, they're all related to his vaccine reaction. Everything is related. He was having severe gut pain. My husband and I used to never sleep. We would be up 24/7. We would have to sleep in shifts in order to get some sleep. But even then, with my son screaming and crying, we really could not sleep. That has improved with when I changed his diet. That has improved. I don't like to use pharmaceuticals on him, so I use essential oils on him. That has really helped. So we are actually able to sleep now at night, and my son, he'll sleep all night. he usually does not get up. Maybe every few months he might get up once in the middle of the night. But that it used to be an every night thing with him, and we would not sleep. So I urge people who, if their children have had a vaccine reaction, to study their diet. You know, what are you feeding them? We took dyes out. We took gluten, casein out. And it turns out he actually did have a gluten and a casein intolerance that was causing him to be in so much pain, which is why he would scream all the time. And his stomach was really tight. You know, we just started researching different things that would help him. And so he is doing so much better, but we still have a long way to go.
Right, right. Well, Dr. Crawley, who reverses vaccine-induced diseases, said several keys. One is you have to start a protocol early on. It does, but you get better results. It's not that she can't help people who start late, but you get better results the earlier you start, you know?
Yes.
And she has a whole checklist of things that are really important, like adhering to the protocol she will give you, you know what I mean? And so there are variables in how, but your child will never be that child again, you know? I've heard of one instance where autism was completely reversed. But that's, you know, if you can get your child comfortable, if you can get your child to sleep, if you can get your child to talk, well, that's a major, major thing. Have you ever heard of a child who was completely nonverbal speaking again?
Yes, I have.
Oh, that's exciting.
I mean, not like speaking like as far as you and I, but
right.
Using his words. Like Josiah is still nonverbal, but he does say a word every now and then. But yes, I've heard of children who do start talking, but it's never like you and I are talking right now. Like Josiah has been doing hypnotherapy for the last year and a half, which that's where his therapy is done on a horse. He rides a horse.
Oh, wonderful.
That has really helped him. That is when
animals,
he started to...
Animals can play a very big part in a child's... Because animals accept children, you know?
Yes.
They don't judge them. They accept them. Certainly dogs are loving. Do you have a dog?
Yes. You probably heard her a little while ago.
Oh, right.
Yes,
sorry.
We have a dog.
Yes. Right. Sorry, I wasn't thinking. But how does the dog react to your son?
We've had Precious since she was 6 weeks old. I know that she knows that something's different about Josiah. She alerts us. When she first alerted us of something that was wrong with Josiah, I was in awe. He had an upset stomach. And I did not know that he had used the bathroom. And she frantically was running to me and running to him and kept doing that. And that was when I realized that she was trying to alert me that his pull-up was messed up, that he had had some diarrhea. And I went in there and changed him. He got up one morning and got out of his room. He opened his gate. We have a gate. And he opened it and I heard her barking frantically. She has different barks. One bark is something's wrong bark. And she was barking and barking and barking and would not stop. And I knew something was wrong. And I opened my door, went out into the hall, and Josiah was sitting on the stairs. She kept barking so bad that he just stopped and wouldn't go any further. I feel it scared him. But she was alerting me that Josiah had got out of his room.
Oh,
she heard him on his baby monitor one time, and she lets us know. So I do feel that she knows Josiah has autism, and
wow.
She has alerted us to things about him. She's
remarkable.
Very patient with him. She will Josiah will hit her and she usually just sits there and takes it. She's, you know, when she was still a puppy, she had her moments with him. She didn't like being hit, but as she ages, I feel she knows something's not right about Josiah, and she'll take him hitting her. And, of course, we correct him and say, don't hit the dog. But, you know, recently he started hugging her and sitting next to her. But, yes, we do. I do feel she knows Josiah has autism. And she's real good with
him. She's certainly an asset to your family. What an asset this dog is beyond the fact that she's,
you know,
a loved member of your family. She's most assuredly an asset.
She
wow.
is, and I'm.
Well, I would like
I
to
will
say
never
this
regret
moment,
getting her.
I would like to say at this moment, if you have a small dog, above all, do not vaccinate that dog. Just like with small children are vulnerable, far more so than large people. Even though it's bad, it's 100% poison and bad for everybody. It couldn't be worse for small children and small dogs. My dog almost died from vaccination, and the doctors would not acknowledge that until we paid a $4,000 bill for an operation, canceled our life-awaited trip to Egypt. And as I was leaving, after we paid the bill, even though everybody denied it, I said, so what do you think caused the problem? Even though I had proposed 1,000 times it was the vaccine. They said, it was the vaccine. As if, like, duh. I'm like, why did you all lie to my face? You know? Everybody
yes, ma'am.
Denied it until the bill was paid. And after the bill was paid, it's like, well, duh. I am so disgusted by the whole lot of them.
Yes, I recently started, you know, researching into the vaccination toward animals, too. And I had asked my dog's vet about the vaccinations and mentioned to what happened to my son. And he said, well, dogs can't get autism. That's what he said to me.
Well, they can die.
Yeah. And that's what he said. The dogs can't get autism. Oh, and he also said that the vaccination
or not, but there are so many different ways that you can be affected by detrimental, including autism, including death, and including a host of other problems. So thank you for coming on our show, and I will put the website that you can help fund Jennifer Leah Lane. Am I saying your middle name correctly, Leah?
It's me. It's Lee.
Lee. Okay. Jennifer
Lee
Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lee. Her the website, so that if you will kindly help fund this effort to allow her child to go outdoors by building a fence to contain him. That would be wonderful. We would so appreciate that. And thank you for coming on. Would you like to recommend an informative website, something you feel is better than others possibly?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I honestly like TACA. I really like to recommend people to TACA, T-A-C-A. That's who I've always went to. That's his help. You know, we go to their picnic every. The picture that I sent you was from the picture at the TACA, T-A-C-A, is the picnic. They have an autism picnic every year for families of children with autism to come, and the parents to get to talk to other parents of children with autism, the children to get to play with each other, and not have strange looks, stared at, laughed at. Everyone understands. So I do like is talk about curing autism now.
Well, I believe I believe that they are all over the country. So wherever
yes,
you live,
there's different chapters.
You might look into that. Okay, and my website is billiontoddlermarchforsurvival.blogspot.com, and I have lots of information there as well. So thank you, again,
Josiah
Jennifer.
Has to.
Yes.
I was going to say, Josiah has a page on Facebook, and it's called Josiah's Journey. I can send you that link.